and check one more thing. Okay, everyone, welcome to our monthly live call-in show with healer, channel, guide, Joni Eichinger, award-winning, also an author, right?
Yeah.
Joni, welcome to So Luminous Radio. I love this monthly show. I love it, love it, love it. The stuff that's gone on in these shows has been nothing less than totally amazing.
Thank you. I just show up each day.
Yeah. That's all you do.
I just show up at these miracles. I got to tell you, it's so exciting. Humbly, I say this is a fantastic venue. I love being on your show, and I applaud all those that call in for clarification and validation on
your
journey.
Yeah, right. You know, it does take courage to do that. And so, and just because it's a little scary and it does take courage, doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It means that.
Said the life coach.
All right. Whatever scares you, that's your compass. It's pointing to where you need to go. You know, I was just listening to this man. He's a poet. His name is Mark Nepo. And he was on Jennifer McLean's show, Healing with the Masters. And his advice to all of us was, or is, know where you really live. And this show is taking part in So Luminous Radio's Season to Thrive. And the definition of thrive is to grow or develop vigorously, to flourish. And lots of times we hold ourselves back because we're fearful that we're not perfect enough. But the original definition of the word perfect is actually not, as we think it is, without flaw. But the real definition of the original word is thorough.
Mm.
Yeah. And there's another word that I want to take into consideration here as we're wanting to thrive. And you will during this show today, if you are courageous enough, as I put out the challenge there to you, you will thrive. The other thing that we need to do is respect ourselves. And the original version of the word respect actually comes from looking again. So, you know, spectate, respectate, look again. And what we want to do is kind of let go of what we want to happen or how we think it's going to happen. And if you're feeling stuck, that how we think it's going to happen and focusing on what's not happening, but this is what should be happening and how, but yet it isn't, that's a perfect formula for not getting what you want. So Joni is here. She's our bridge from strive to thrive. From stuck to flourish, okay? But it does take that intense desire, okay, to get beyond where you are right now, to reach out to someone like Joni here on So Luminous Radio to, you know, take that step into that space where you're not willing to stay stuck anymore. So, Joni, having said that, a whole mouthful, what do you have to say before we start taking readings?
Well, I'd like to just add to that. I thought what you said was fantastic. People might not remember, realize, know that, in fact, this reality, this earth reality, is like a school. I like to call it earth school. And that we come down here to actually experience hard knocks. And that to go into that uncomfortable space is exactly what we wish for before we come into a lifetime. Mm. So a lot of us, we say, well, what was I thinking? Are you kidding? Back there on the other side, I wanted to come down and feel discomfort and pain? Yes, yes. We desire challenges for soul growth opportunity. And what a better place than Earth, a very, very challenging planet where we shove a spirit into a body. Some people like to call it a meat suit. And it's quite uncomfortable for a spirit. We oftentimes don't like to be physically restricted in a physical incarnation. There are other realities where we roam free as maybe a sacred geometrical structure or a gaseous ball or something that might look like a snowflake or some gorgeous color, or maybe even an outline of a figure where you could put your hand through it. So we come down here, in fact, to feel displeasure, discomfort in order to work through to then get to a place of understanding. So when we return home, they say, hey, how are you? Nice to see you. And then, what did you learn? So I very much love being this bridge. I feel very blessed where I can help that person go from that strive to the thrive, where they come in and go, hey, I'm stuck. I don't understand what's happening. And then divine messages come through. And then I can help guide the person and move them out of that stuckness to a more full understanding of what the heck was going on, so they have the tools to then go forward and live wonderfully and joyfully. So that's my dovetail to what you shared.
Okay, thanks, Jody. So I have a question about that. So when someone is stepping up to get a reading, is there something that they need to do to ground themselves or center themselves or get in a better place to be able to receive or understand?
Not at all. I tell people it's nice to have water by them, because sometimes the divine crew asks for them to sip. So if I'm doing a reading and a healing comes into play, the other side might be pulling things out, or I might be pulling things out, the energies that are holding a person back, toxins, negative energies. So water does help. But I believe that the desire to shift and change and grow is what is most important.
Okay, great. Okay, well, we have a few callers on the line right now. If you're ready to...
I'm ready. Let's just do it.
Okay, so everyone, if you would like a reading, I would like for you to press *2 to raise your hand. I will see your hand raised, and then I can call on you. Okay. All right. So we have someone who's raised their hand. Your whole number and everything is blotted out, but you have your hand raised. So I'm unmuting you now, and you can just say your name and say hello to Joni. Hi.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's you.
I'm here.
What is your name?
My name is Keenan.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Florida.
Beautiful. I think that we've met before on some phone calls, radio shows, and sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been around for you, Joni. Always pleased
Beautiful.
To
Beautiful. What do you have for me today?
Okay, so I have been totally lost as to what to pursue for making money and, you know, pursuing work and a career. I've just been so lost, and I'd really like to hear a little bit about that.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm getting images, and for those of you Keenan and others, those who are listening, if you wonder how a channel's mind operates, it's my third eye. It's the space that's in between your eyes and your forehead, and that's where it's like a little movie screen. So I see images, and by the way, I can do this with my eyes open, so it's pretty neat. But anyway, so I see you. You're like a communications director, and you're directing traffic. I see you in an office, but I feel like you're a troubleshooter. I feel like there's some type of a customer service communications setting that you're in. You excel at language, and you excel at communication, and I see you directing other individuals, and it's troubleshooting and problem solving. I do see it's corporate. I have to ask them if it's metaphor. No, let's get very deep with this. No, you're in a managerial position. And I feel like it's also fast-paced, because you would snooze if you were in a company that was slow. And I also see a lot of people around you that are young. So it's a lot of young folks. Don't want to say it's a think tank, but it sure is quite special, where the people are operating at a high level. I don't see it's not a computer company, but it's a chic, like Ocaron, like a Google or a Microsoft or LinkedIn, something that's very Ocaron and hip, BuzzFeed, something where there are a lot of young people that are attracted to this company. But I see you something with managing, it's something like with customer service and issues and troubleshooting, and people are constantly coming to you and saying, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? And you're like triage, and you're it's like, see, I didn't work in business, so unfortunately I don't have that as my fund of knowledge regarding titles. But it could just be there, like systems operator. You're managing a system of people, and you're the operator, you know, hello, and everyone's wanting a phone call, and you're plugging them all in so the connections are made. Let's see if there's any more before you give me some info. Do you speak Spanish?
No, but I am very familiar with French and Italian, so it would be an absolute cinch to
learn it. Yeah. So I think that Spanish under your belt would help with this. I don't think bilingual. I think working knowledge. Now, the other thing, too, here is they do say publishing company, and that you could go in that direction as well. So I see media, a media company, media consulting company, and publishing, literature, books, film, spoken word, tape, video, communications. People relaying their thoughts, expressing themselves in a variety of media, different ways, via media. You're doing interpretation. I don't think this is translation. I feel that you're working at a higher level in a corporation, and you're helping people express themselves. So other people, I'm just channeling, we'll get to whether this is metaphor, so people understand the true expression of that person. Let's see. No, this is not language translation. This is all English. The Spanish comes in if there's someone that you need to assist and you need for them to be taken care of, and English is not their first language. I'm going to ask you now, does any of this resonate?
Yeah, I really suppose so, because really language is my passion, so it makes sense that I would veer towards a direction where I get to use words and expression a lot. But yeah, absolutely.
You have analyzed language on a very deep level regarding text. But where your forte is moving people around. You're like a communications officer, they call you. So even though you might not be working with a Native American language or an ancient Egyptian text, all of those people that you would be working with today are communicating in their own unique way, and you have the ability to decipher not only what they're saying on the just the basic level, but you can get deeper in terms of who they are and what they need to express. This is about communications, and you, I believe you're a communications officer. I don't know what level you would enter, but because of what you are able to do on the higher learning level, you apply those skills to people as if you are triage, troubleshooting, problem solving, customer service, fast pace, young group of people, large bunch of people. I don't see this as a small agency at all. I see you working in a big company, fast pace, happy, the money is good. and people take you seriously because you haven't been. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's very interesting to hear. It does make sense.
I don't know if you would move. You would possibly move.
I'm actually always very curious about if I may end up wanting to study or work in Europe, because I don't know, I'm very much wanting to be an international person.
The fact that you know English is very, very good, along with some of your other languages, and again, I see you in communications.
All right, wonderful.
I hope that this assisted.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to hear your insights, Joni.
Oh,
thank you.
It's an honor, and you're welcome, and good luck. I'm not sure whether he's still there. Did Keenan leave? Or am I cut off? Am I gone?
No.
Michelle?
Hi. No, I was
talking.
Hi. I was talking and I muted myself and I forgot.
Oh, okay. Okay. I wasn't sure. I think, did Keenan leave? I think Keenan left.
No, he must have. I had muted him. So anyway, I think he was just done.
Okay.
I would like, before we go into our next person, I'll give people a chance to raise their hand. Remember, you want to press *2 to raise your hand so I know that you want a reading, okay? So press *2 to raise your hand and then I can call on you. But I would like to know if anything in your recent experience, Joni, has brought you to a different place. Like, does anything that you go through enhance or detract from your ability to do these readings, or are there layers of learning that come along with what you do?
Oh, every time that I go through a life challenge, I'm faced with losing faith. And I think that's so human of me. And that I don't think I lose faith completely, but I think it challenges the stressful situation, the life challenge, unseats me, and then I start questioning, will everything be all right? Then I ask some of my channel friends to go in for me, and they give me back exactly what I dish out to everyone. And then after I get a little injection of my medicine, then I'm fine, and then I give it to myself. And I say, well, everything is divinely ordered. This is a movie. I accept this no matter how ugly it is.
Yeah.
And this too shall pass. So I feel that I have learned a lot, and that I don't know, in terms of traversing this earth school, I think I kind of got it. I think I figured it out. But in terms of the day-to-day struggles or some big Wallapalooza things that I go through, I still react. Initially, I react the way most people do. And I would go, really? Or, oh, my God, or am I going to be okay?
Yeah. You know,
I hope that answers. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, actually. And, I want people to be comforted by the fact that, you know, the real goal, because it's essentially impossible by the nature of our being human here on Earth, because we came here for the soul experience. So we have to have that contrast of pain and joy and the consequence, shall I say, of, you know, free will choice, right?
Yeah.
That the total goal, don't go for total enlightenment all the time. Total enlightenment all the time is not possible unless you're past.
Exactly. I say the same thing. I tell people, you got it. Ditto.
Right, yeah.
If you figured it all out, then your contract's over and then you're gone. Then you die. Then you pass. You're gone. Bye-bye.
Right. So that poses the question. Let's kind of reframe or give more perspective on then why are people here seeking answers?
Oh, we love it here, honey. Oh, honey, Madge, I heard there's a great incarnation date. It's such and such. You want to come down with me? We'll be friends. You want to be sisters? It's too much fun down here. That's why we do this.
But what about the people, like people who are on the call and people like me? And like
we all love this. We love this. And everyone is probably going, no, I don't. Get out. I really do. I've read pieces that say there's a friggin' line on the other side of souls waiting to come in. We love the challenge. Now, not everyone can handle this planet. It's really very, very challenging. There are other existences that are not as challenging as this. So those souls might not come here. It would be a suicide mission. It would be a waste. Their contract wouldn't be fulfilled. It would feel like an epic fail, although there are no failures. But it would just be a waste. Therefore, those souls, those younger souls or ones that aren't meant to experience this would not be here. God doesn't put more on your plate than you can handle. That is a truism. There, you know, the divine crew, as we assemble for a pre-birth planning session, you get a rubber stamp when it is in agreement that it's for the person's highest good. So those that are on the call, these are souls that are wanting more answers than what they have, you know, what they have been able to glean, whether it's from themselves, a friend, a therapist. And that's part of the awakening that people are having, is going to a soul like me, and there are gazillions of people like me on Earth, that bring in messages that have an understanding of the way things operate. And then the person gets that little bit, and then they move forward, so they're a little less afraid and a little more grounded in their Earth experience.
Okay. Awesome.
Let's do more.
Yeah. And people are shy, though, Joni. We have a few people who aren't pressing start two. They're not raising their...
They're listening.
They're listening.
Okay, so we don't have any more that want to have any...
Not
reading.
Right now. We have a bunch of people sitting here, but no more that seem as if they want a reading.
That's okay. So do you have any questions for me about anything?
Oh, wait a minute. We got someone now.
There's a hand. Ooh!
It's a hand. Okay. I am unmuting you from Weymouth, Massachusetts. You are on the air. Say hello to Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Hi. What's your name?
Karen.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. What's your question?
Okay. So curious what I'm not seeing. Just curious, you know, life has been a journey. It certainly has in my 54 years of life, so I'm telling you my age. And I have just loved, I have lost, I have just been so blessed in so many ways. And I'm just wondering, you know, you turn 50, you feel like, oh, you're halfway there through life, God willing, you might get 50 more. And you wonder, what's your passion to fill your soul with happiness? What am I missing? And I am curious to hear what you're channeling or feeling just by hearing my voice. So
this is what I get, honey pie. Do you have a story where you have to write a book?
Probably, yes.
There's a book that's inside of you. You have a story, and it needs to be told. Now, there are certain children I feel would also benefit from the story. It's mostly adult, but there's also a situation. I don't know how you fashion this book. I think the reader is adult, yet I do believe that there are children. They're either precocious children or ones that are in desperate need of hearing this story, and it's passed to them to read when they're older. But I see you're needing to do a little bit of research first. I see you're going to the library. That could be metaphor for doing your research, you know, Barnes & Noble or online. Whatever the theme is, and I think you know what the theme is. Do you know what the theme is, if you were to put a title to it?
Yeah, I think so, sort of.
Okay.
I can't put a title to it, but I have an idea, theme. Yes.
I see you doing some research, and I see you reading some books. There's either a TED Talk, there are YouTubes, where there are other people that have their take on this, but you have a different take. Now, it's not 180-degree different, but it's your voice. But before you write the book, you need to hear the other voices first. Not necessarily they all have to be YouTube and, you know, video, but you know, it could be read. It could be written word as well. You need to see and hear the author's voices, their experience. Some are autobiographical and others are self-help. And you will know, I think within 3 years, I think that you've got something together. This will take time. It's very, very important for you to do this. I think you came here into this incarnation to write this. This is a very special book, and it has a lot of light in it, meaning love, power. The frequency of your words when it is composed is high. You have been very challenged. Are you ready? You asked for it. I think that's the theme of this show, Michelle. You came into this lifetime and you put these experiences on your etheric date book. And I want that to happen, and then that's going to happen. And I feel almost there's a – do you ever feel sometimes you suffer from PTSD and anxiety?
Are you asking me that?
Yes.
In the past, not so much now.
That's good. I'm very glad to hear that. It's as if like a gun went off. Did you ever hear a gun go off in real life?
I've shot a gun before.
Okay, so you have heard that. So there's something about the gun going off, and you know what? They're already working on you. Do you have water by you?
Yep.
Have a sip.
I do.
There you go. Have a sip. Let's go into another lifetime, because this is where there's a horror here, and this is something that reverbs in your body, and I believe it's related to this PTSD, the trauma from the past. The gunfire, I hear it. It reverbs, and it's zinging in your body as if there's a ricochet bullet that's going bing boom, bing boom, bing boom all through your body. Have another sip. Yeah, now you said to me, your higher self said, get all this stuff out. There are five lifetimes of blades and swords and bullets and knives. It just goes on of all of these pieces. So it started with the gunshot, and now it's many. I hear zing, you know, the blade against metal, zing, and it's all coming out. You're very chivalrous, very courageous. You got in a lot of battles and you were hit. So in this lifetime, you come back and you want peace, but because of karma from those other lifetimes where, let's just talk about this, we play in the dark and the light, we are victim and victimizer, we do both to balance our soul. So you have killed others, as we all have, I have, we all have in other lifetimes for soul growth opportunity. I'm not admitting to a killing, by the way, in this lifetime. We're talking about other lifetimes. We've all done this. This is part of Earth School. You have guilt, and you blame yourself, and you blame some others. Let's get rid of the karma from other lifetimes that will help you with the anxiety that's still reverbing, because that will also open you up so you can write this book. We take the five lifetimes where there was killing and all of this mess and gore and hurting. You say inside, I forgive myself. Oh, happy day. Boy, there's a softening already. Happy day. Do your toes tingle right now?
No, my hands do.
Your hands are tingling? Okay, so I got an extremity right, but I'm feeling the toes, but if it's at your hands, it's fine. It's good. It's good. Forgive everyone. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yay! Oh, you're happy. whee! And your heart was sad, so that's also opening up. Ask for everyone's forgiveness. You just say, please, all of you, forgive me. And say, I'm grateful for all these life lessons. Have another sip of water. That's going to take the strain off of your back. I feel like there's a lot of pressure. Did you have tension in your back?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a back rack. It's like a rack. It's like tight like a rack.
I did have
That's
going to
soften. Your ears are going to feel better. Your mouth, your nose, your throat, your head, your arms, your teeth, your pelvis, your lower back. Oh, I'm feeling the whole thing. Your thighs, your calves, the heels, the Achilles. It's the whole thing. You watch what happens, honey. Watch what happens to you. You're going to be writing a book now. This helps fast forward you. As a result of this healing, now I see 2 years. That just changed the timeline. It's now going to be 2 years, not three. The energy, you're released. You're released. Yeah, so in terms of purpose, this is information we need to know. You need to bring your story into the mass consciousness. You need for it to be out there. And then your work is done. I see you have protection. You have the shield of Archangel Michael with you. There have been people who have been trying to put you down. And I see you defending yourself, and I see you very proud. You're very quick with your mouth, with your tongue, and you can speak up, and you will be saying more to whoever it is that's bothering you, and then they ultimately will stop. Does this assist?
Yes, it does, actually. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's definitely more that's with you in terms of experiences. You're going to be having messages coming in. People are going to turn to you in awe and say how you've changed. The meaning that you've been looking for in your life will come. It seems like you've been drifting. It will be seeping into you and solidifying, and then you'll understand why you're here. In a few years, then you will understand why you're here.
Mm.
They already say bravo, and it hasn't happened yet. So they already know what you're going to be producing. And they already say bravo, so there you go.
Courage. It's going to take a lot of courage.
They say you're courageous. You have the shield. They say you have the shield. Call upon Archangel Michael. You have the shield of protection, and if there are people that bother you or they disagree or they don't like it, it's okay. They don't have to agree. You're not going to be people-pleasing by doing this. I wrote a book, and there were things that I said in it that sounded a little cuckamonga, and I couldn't think about other people. I had to get a book out. There was some reason why this information had to come through me, and I don't really market it. It's very, very metaphorical. But some people have read it, and they say it's very powerful. Other people don't understand it. And the ones that think that I'm nuts, it's okay. It's fine.
Yep.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very cool.
Yeah, let us know how it unfolds.
Oh, I'm sure you'll hear. Or no. Thank you.
I might not ESP it, honey. You might have to tell me.
Thank you so much, Joni. Have a good
You're
night.
Welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Okay. We still have a few people on the line here, so I encourage you to press *2 to raise your hand if you'd like a reading. If you just want to hang with us and listen, I'm sure that Joni and I are going to come up with some great things to talk about. So we can start right now, Joni, because it's the energy of shyness right now. I started the show with take courage and stand in that space. And I guess I didn't really know until now that how kind of shy people are being. But that's okay. You're ready when you're ready.
It's all fine. It's Hoffman. I'll tell people how they can find me. If you're interested in having a reading with me, go to joniswhitelighthealing.com. And I do sessions by phone and Skype. And for folks that live in central New Jersey, they can come see me in person. And I have a new website that's being developed, and that's where 3 years' worth of radio shows and interviews and songs that I've written and recorded will be on. But that's in the process.
All right. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So what's tickling your fancy these days, Jerry?
I do gigs at restaurants. So they book the back of a restaurant. I'm at the Myersville Inn in Gillette, and I'm at the Glen Gardner Inn in Glen Gardner, both in New Jersey. And what I love is I love being behind a mic and spreading the word, you know, turning on light bulbs while people dine. So I find it very, very exciting to do readings for people in a public setting where one person in this group, and mind you, they're strangers. They might come with someone they know or a group, but they're among strangers, and they'll ask a question, and everyone hears their answer.
Yeah.
So what's so powerful about it is it's like spiritual group therapy.
Wow.
And
people really don't know
what to expect when they sit down, but after two and a half hours, there are a lot of smiles. I always bring my tissue box. Many people are moved. I feel very blessed to do that. So that's something that I feel very honored to do. And I hope to do more. I hope more restaurants will pick up this idea and offer a meal while folks get readings and healings.
That sounds like a blast. So what is your feeling right now, or what is your insight, or what comes to you about right where we all are right now? Because, as I said, I'm feeling this kind of shyness, a strong desire, yet a reluctance. Do you feel that? I mean, not just in the show tonight. I mean, around people, with clients that I've worked with, I have a handful of new clients who've really made big commitments. And a couple of them are really just, you know, they spent a lot of money and, well, okay, let's make this about me. And I feel like I'm not giving them enough of what they need because they keep on staying in the same place. And so I'm feeling a little insufficient.
Well, that's not your job. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So you can only be responsible for what is your job, and then it's for the other person to take it and run with it, or they're going to shelve it or they're going to trash it, and that's their job. So all you can do is just ask, am I doing enough? And if you conclude that you are, then that's great. And then you can sit back and then you'll just know, okay, you can put out the prayer, that wish, that client runs with it. I think that many people, regarding readings and healings, many people are afraid of what they're going to hear. I always say I'm not a doom and gloom psychic. There are people who are gifted with the ability to do readings and healings, yet they might not have worked on their own personal issues. Therefore, their filter, it's like imagine like at the top of their head, there's like a round sieve or filter. Their filter might be dirty or muddy. So when they receive information coming through, it gets tainted. And then, therefore, what they share with the person is of a lower vibration, and the words would come out as negative and fearful. If a person ever hears anything that is negative, doom and gloom, scary, be cautious, I'm suspicious, or if they ever hear anything like, you need to give me X amount of thousands of dollars and then I'll pull the negative energy out of you or off of you, then you leave. You must leave because that's usually a hoax. And regarding any doom and gloom, I say erase and delete. also there are people who are bringing in negative energies to begin with, that it doesn't have to do with their filter. So in that case, those negative energies are going to play, and they're going to have the soul say things that are, again, negative to create fear. Then you also might have a reader or a healer who has negative energies residing within them. So when the messages come through that are already okay, it'll hit their filter, which we're not talking about the filter now, but when it goes through the filter, it might then go through, you know, be then with the negative energies that are within that soul. And again, the information is played with. So I do appreciate when people say, oh, I won't have another reading. I went on the boardwalk at the Jersey Shore, and the person scared me. So I just say to people, I bring in the highest of Christ-like consciousness, and I also happily say that I've worked through so many of my personal issues. I was a therapist before I became a channel, and I was in therapy for a bunch of years because many therapists are in therapy to work through their stuff so they can be the best therapist for another person. And then with the spiritual awakening deal, I did a lot of forgiveness work. I do believe that my filter is quite clear, and I ask only of the highest to come through. So that sometimes is why a person might not ask.
Well, so universe, those of you who are listening and participating, I can attest to what Joni's saying simply because I know her and she shared stuff with me about her life, and she's always like she is right now. Despite what you have gone through, and it isn't anything that any of you would want to go through. So, you know, Joni, thanks for doing that work so you can help all of us.
You know, first of all, thank you. And I asked for it. So I came into this lifetime, I was hospitalized on my first birthday with an illness. They thought I had Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And I had illnesses and surgeries and tests, and I faced my mortality several times with illnesses and surgeries. And I came into this lifetime putting many, many challenges down so I could clear up a lot of karma from other lifetimes. And I know I asked for a lot of this, and I have a very strong survivor essence. I won't let anything bring me down or take me out. So I remain strong and hopeful, and no, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. No, I don't wear rose-colored glasses. No, I'm not part of a cult. I mean, I call myself being in spiritual land. And it's that happy place of knowing that everything is divinely ordered, and that we've pre-birth planned quite a bit. And then what isn't pre-birth planned is post-incarnation free will choice. Mm. So that's also where we get to play down here for more opportunities to grow. So I know everything is okay.
Is there anything that we can do, like say, yeah, we get a reading from you, and or we're listening to the show. What can anyone do on their own as a practice, say just after they've had even a short reading like this from you, to maintain the level of healing and to facilitate further growth from that spot? Is there anything that we can do?
Well, drinking water is underrated. So I think that when a person drinks water, they're better able to absorb information. Their machine, their brain, and their body are working better.
Yeah.
So water is very important. Being connected with spirit, to the matrix, to the universe, to creation, is very important. So a person could meditate, they could pray, they could go out into nature, they could go to their happy place. They could go and be in a situation that gives them great joy, and then when they leave there, if they're in a situation of sadness, they can go back to that happy time and retrieve it and bring it in, and that can bathe them as medicine. They can review notes of a reading or listen to the audio recording. They can read self-help books.
Yeah.
They can journal. They can hold a grounding stone. There are stones like tourmaline and smoky quartz and hematite and shungite, and there are many of them, that have properties that will ground a person to the earth, their spirit to Gaia, which is a spirit in this giant rock called Earth. And they will have more of a sense of security if they're feeling anxious or floaty.
Mm. That concept of grounding, Joni, I think is so important, because when we're, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I want you to add to this, when we spend, I call it crazy land, when we spend all this time in our head and it's not put into some kind of a practice, like leaning, you know, inward, going within, doing a meditative practice, going out in nature, doing the journaling, you know, listening to higher vibration books on audio or shows like this. When we just spend our time analyzing, there is no amount of thinking that can stop the thinking. I mean, we get caught in that a downward vortex where it's dragging us into a lower frequency. So our ability to understand what's being presented to us, even though we've been begging for it, we can't even see it or communicate with it. Can you comment on that?
Absolutely, I agree. And it's interesting because it's kind of like the ego. That's another thing, like you can't get around it, but you have it. So we're born with a brain, and that's fantastic. We need it for thinking. But a person might over-rely on their brain if they're avoidant regarding feeling and the intuition of knowing, which is actually in one's heart. So thinking, the brain is needed for making decisions and for analyzing situations, but each person needs to have an idea of where they are on the continuum of thought and thinking and intellectualizing and analyzing. If they are less of a feeling person and if they do not trust their gut, the chances are they're in their head. Some people actually turn off their brain and they zone out. So they're not even thinking, but they're not going into their heart. So you can either turn off your brain or overuse your brain. And these are both ways of not being truly divinely guided. So we're socialized to think, to be thinkers, and we're actually commended for it in society by being a thinker. It's when you go out of your head and into your heart, that's where the true knowledge is, because our heart knows everything. So people can do an exercise where they go into a still place, into a quiet moment, and they turn their brain off, and then they focus, they visualize going into their heart, and they can open up that chamber and ask it, what do you have to tell me? You have answers for me. I would like to know. And then you get very still and very quiet. And then you might feel something. You might know something. You might hear something. You might sense something. No matter what it is, it's a gift. And if a person does that, they might also start hearing messages from angels as well and guides.
That is an awesome piece of advice or guidance right there, Joni. Thank you so much for that. I have an exercise that I haven't pulled out of my coaching bag, and that is the journaling with two different color pens and asking your higher self for guidance. And I love doing that because I can always tell when I do it with myself, I'll ask a question and then I'll sit and get quiet. And then with the other color pen, I'll write the answer coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
beautiful.
And the answer, when I'm writing out the answer, I can always tell it's guidance because my handwriting changes. It becomes like nicer and more flowing. Like it's effortless. My hand doesn't get tired,
yeah.
You know? And there is not a time when I do this that I do not get something that happens, a sign like of some sort. I mean, not the skies opening up, but a total and 100% confirmation of where I'm going is where I'm supposed to be.
That's when you go inside. That's when you get still.
And, you know, it's a strong word, but it is truly the way I feel because I'm human, right? But my frustration within my frustration within my chosen job, which I love, is that I want my clients to do these practices because I know that through what I've the stuff that I've gone through, it's been the only thing that saved me. It's been obviously it has definitely made me a better coach. I know that I signed up for bankruptcy, divorce, abandonment, everything.
Mm. Yes.
And when I've gone there and done those practices, that's when I'm able to teach. I mean, I did classes after my 13-year relationship ended that very week, and I was optimistic and going, not in denial, but using the energy of that pain. And when people are resisting, they want it so bad, yet they resist, and they stay up in their head without applying it to practices like we're talking about, reaching out to you, doing a practice that sustains our growth or at least gives us guidance and the ability to receive whatever's coming to us, like the journaling, like the meditation. When there's resistance to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, please, please do this. You know?
And that's, again, so human of you to have that frustration and that desire that your clients pick up on the golden, you know, the golden pieces that you've laid out for them. Like, this is your ticket. This is your ticket. It worked for me. It could work for you. And again, this is where you can only do so much and put it before another soul, and then it is their choice as to whether they take it, whether they incorporate that. You know, another thing too to remember, and this is where this is part of my experience as a psychic, is that for some souls who are so entrenched in their minds and not wanting to shift, they might have other lifetimes that are so traumatic that it holds them back, so what you are experiencing with a client regarding quote unquote resistance to change, it might be so much deeper than what you would even see on the surface and what they even are aware of, that they might only be able to relay from their own lifetime and not realize that there's another lifetime or lifetimes that are holding them back from movement.
Okay. Now, this is a very important piece right here, everyone who's listening. Very, very important. And this is why we have Joni on the show. This is why Joni is is in my sacred toolbox. Because this is the part that, I mean, I can help you with the knowledge and the skill and the practice. I can help you with all of that and going deeper and looking within. But I can't help you with what I can't access without some help, without the bridge, like Joni. So this is where Joni comes in. And so talking about blocks or like trauma, like you had earlier from past lives that's stopping us, and we just simply are not aware, and no level of talking or analyzing is going to make us more aware. So we come to you. You identify what's going on. How does that process work? I mean, what is really going on? What are you bringing them through? And energetically, what's happening? And what is possible? I mean, is it possible to get reblocked after you release it? Does it
you
take
can. A person can go back, and they can go back to an old habit or pattern if they aren't doing their work to change.
Okay.
They can.
Okay.
I can help a person release, but if they're not motivated to do the work to go on a healthier path, then they would just create a new story for themselves in this lifetime that would mimic exactly what was pulled out from somewhere else where the forgiveness work is done.
Okay, so all right, my question resides there. That's kind of like the same resistance to doing the work. So it kind of is like this circle where we're coming back while you're still resistant. What is that about? So after you've released the energy, you've gone into the past life, yet there's still this resistance. Is it an unwillingness of free choice because they're lazier, or is it something else that's blocking them?
It could be both. It could be both. And that's where, you know, I can only do so much in one session. If I put out the intention to help a person release karma regarding a theme, that person's higher self and my higher self and my guides and their guides, we're going to all come together in the ethers as the session is going on. And that client's going to know which lifetimes they want to address and release the karma. If there are some lifetimes they're not ready to get rid of, to address, they remain. There are also other things, too, but I think that as the show is going to end soon, it would be for another conversation. But there are more things. People make vows. People write contracts. People say nevers. And these are also blocks. People might have negative energies within them. And see, just basic fear and doubt can block a person from moving forward. So that's why I always say the way that you can clear on your own is working on yourself here. So if you work on yourself, let's say it's therapy or journaling or just self-reflection, if you can work on your fears, you're the one that said face whatever you fear, that's wherever the compass is pointing,
yeah.
That's where you need to do your work. Face everything. Face your fear and overcome it. Stop doubting. It's a block. Never say never, because if you truly mean it and believe it and take steps towards it, you make it stick. And it affects not only this lifetime, but all the others. And it travels with you through lifetimes. Same with vows.
I was having I know we only have a couple of minutes left here, but I was having a conversation with this woman I just met, Janelle Hoyland. And she reminds me so much of you, Joni, in the way that she is so authentic and simply herself and so heart-centered, been through a whole lot of shit, you know, and just maintains, you know, her bearings, like her compass is where it is, and it's full, her sails are full, and she's going where she's want to go, she's going where she wants to go within her chosen profession, or the profession that chose her, should I say, right? Just like you. And what she said was, and it's just another way of looking at it that I think may help people, is that, you know, we know ourselves, but then when we become in a relationship, so it can be a friendship, it can be a romantic or an intimate relationship, it can be, you know, a business relationship, but whatever relationship that antagonizes us, we suddenly lose our identity, because up till then we didn't know ourselves in that way. So
right.
The relationship was bringing to us those parts of ourselves that we didn't yet know. And through that quote unquote antagonism, frustration, resistance, or anger, or whatever it is, we get, if we're aware enough, to stop and ask questions. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Very well said. Absolutely.
So
I don't even know if there's more to add. It's just very well put.
I guess, Joni, like in closing, that in itself might be a good practice to switch on that awareness, right? And when we're in these situations that will always reappear, right?
Well, some situations won't always reappear. If the lesson is learned, there's closure.
Right, but if we're feeling the frustration, then it will reappear, and then we get to ask the question. But if the frustration is gone, then we've obviously lost the lesson.
Right,
so I've learned
right.
the lesson, I mean. So would that be a good practice of that question asking? What part of myself is am
well,
I?
Well, no, I think that the question is asked when the person can even, when they're ready to face it. So that the part that comes before the question answering, the question asking, is a person needing to know that everything is divinely ordered and all is well, no matter what it is, no matter how chaotic, tragic, traumatic, ugly, twisted, horrific. And that when a person is in that space, that they know that they're being held by divinity, that we're all connected, and that there is a reason for how this Earth school operates, that it's not a chaos planet, that there's a method to this, that once they get to that place, then they can then turn on that awareness switch and then go in and ask the question.
Okay.
Yes. So they have awareness that practice comes when the person is ready to face something, when they need to be grounded and just like, hold on tight, I'm ready, I'm going to ask it, and no matter what comes my way, I'm okay. It's going to be okay.
Okay, and this is my last question to you, because this is powerful stuff right here. I know, and without divulging, you know, any particulars, I know that you have gone through quite a bit, and and you've been
continue to,
huh?
And continue to.
Exactly. And so you are in a spot that many people who are listening here are in.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at this timeline, Joni, and it baffles me, you know, what you've shared. But when
you mean how I can keep going on?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. many people say that to me who are my friends. You and many others. I believe it's great faith in the order of creation, and that we are all God's sparks, and that I am a piece, and that I chose to be coughed out, to be broken up and thrown out of Creator to experience itself in a myriad of ways, and that I'm very brave, and that I'm blessed, and that I don't have the answers as to why this is happening to me, yet it wouldn't be happening if there wasn't going to be great meaning and blessings coming from it. So I haven't quite gotten the meaning yet, because I'm still going through it. And I haven't experienced the blessings yet from it, but I know it will be. I have a great, great knowing. And my circle of friends is so strong that along with my faith, it's like a great recipe for perspective.
Mm.
It to me, I joke around with friends. I say, well, it's just a life. Because I know that I have so many incarnations where I'm also playing, that this is one of a gazillion, and that it's not to minimize it, but I see this where I don't bank this life as the only one, that it's, I'm born, I have one chance, and I die and I disappear. No. My soul is eternal, as is every soul. We are all one. And I'm still gonna make this a Woodstock. This is my Woodstock movie.
Knowing you, I'm surprised that the massiveness of your soul's mission can be contained in that tiny little body of yours.
People say that too. I don't know. I think that was part of the cosmic joke as well. Let's pack her into this small thing.
That's right. You're like, what, an oxymoron of sorts, a spiritual oxymoron.
I think so.
You're the jumbo shrimp, right, of the universe.
Yes.
Oh, oh my God. Well, Joni, one more time, why don't you let people know how they can get in touch with you, and then we will sign off from the Soul Universe, because people, you've all been awesome. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a great conversation, Joni. We don't often get to talk like this.
No. Sometimes we talk off show, but we got a chance today. Well, people can reach me at Joni's White Light, healing.com. And since I do have an older website, if you Google my name and just keep scrolling through the Google pages, you'll find interviews and podcasts, radio shows and songs. I'm on SoundCloud and YouTube. And, you know, if you go to Facebook, you can like me, Joni Isinger, and you could also like the fan page, Joni's White Light Healing. If you do friend me on Joni Isinger on Facebook, please just tell me how, just leave a message and tell me how you know me so I know to friend you. And thank you, Michelle, for having me. I love being here.
Oh, I love having you. It's awesome. Always makes me so happy and full after our conversations. And then I talk for like an hour afterwards, either, well, to you and then to Patrick. And then he's like, all right, shut up, Michelle. It's time to go to bed. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll see you again next month.
Definitely. We'll set a date and I'll be there.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.